Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This and welcome to the program tonight. We are going to just have a conversation about what we feel, the symbols we've seen, the words we've heard, and how we who profess to be followers of the teaching of the Yeshua, the Savior, we are allowing the religious movement to usurp that power and authority that the Creator gave the Son, who gave to the disciples. And all this is found in John, the book of John, whenever he was went to the Father and asked the Father not to take us out of the world, but to leave us in the world. And he prayed for the disciples, and he prayed for the ones of us who are here today who say that we are following his teaching and doing the will of the one that created us. But yet we look all around, we see all of this fake Christianity, all this fake doctrine, and we're not speaking out. It reminds me of the time that Jesus walked the earth. It reminds me of the time whenever he had to deal with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Roman government. Now, he didn't keep quiet. But we now are quiet. Let us pray. Oh, I am Apostle W.J. Armstrong. Apostle Miller may make it. I heard from her earlier. She was out blessing the house, and I told her that don't rush to get back, to drive safely. I'd rather for her to be safe than her to be running and ripping, trying to return to do a program and crash. So Apostle McIntyre may be on. I haven't heard from her. So let us pray. Almighty Elohim, we come to you now saying thank you, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to spread your word across the earth, across the globe, that hopefully people will find some sense of peace, some sense of joy in the discussion that we will have. And they will begin to see how you have already taken care of us. You have protected us. And we just say thank you for that. I ask you, let your spirit speak through me so that those who are perplexed about what they see and what they feel and what they hear, they may see you and how you are calling them through those whom you have chosen to walk this earth. In the name of your beloved Son, amen. This has been a challenging week for me, very challenging. It's like something was going on in the spirit realm that was trying to have a diverse effect upon me to get me to walk away or to get disgusted and turned away from the word. And now did not work. I held on to the word because the word is what's in my heart, and that word that was in my heart gave me comfort. as I read articles about what is happening now all over the earth, as well as what's happening in the United States at a national and a local level, it was sort of, I know that if I didn't have the word and I wasn't steeped in the word, I would be troubled. I'd be real troubled. I would have been no better and no less than others. Or if I didn't have the true word, I would be following after a liar, after the father of lies, who is Satan. And, you know, I have the word, and that tells me when I hear our leaders tell lies and expect one to agree with them, and it is just disheartening on one hand that my colleagues are quiet. They're silent. Where are they? What are they saying? And then some of my colleagues, they are in lockstep with the lies that I hear and what I see, the fruits that I see that's happening across the earth. Now, I know some of you are going to be all bent out of shape, but I don't care. Because if you can show me where anything that I say that doesn't line up with the word, then I will apologize to you. But other than that, no, you go read the word for yourself and not listen to what other people told you that the word means. Because until I started doing that, I was confused, and that confusion, because what I heard wasn't what I felt. What was spoken, which was the truth, I experienced something that was not true. And my experience with that, I chose that which was not true to be the truth. So what I'm saying is here tonight is simple. I can understand and connect to how these people are following behind a person that has told the big lie, and they're still following him, and they're giving their lives. You know, that's the other thing. How can these people give their life to a human being as opposed to giving their life, turning their life over to the Creator? And, you know, it's amazing, really amazing how that is happening whenever you sit and watch. You just observe. I know one time I was just so disgusted with the news media that I quit even watching the news or reading. And then I was convicted. If you don't know what's going on, what people are saying, or what people are doing, how will you be able to sit with them and help them to process it in a way that they can see the Creator in the midst of all of this, the way that they can connect with the Messiah who gave us the way, the truth, and the life, the Messiah that reconciled us back to the Creator after what took place in the garden. And when we look at it, you see that he destroyed the work of the serpent, which we call the devil. He said he destroyed the works of the devil. So he cleaned that part up in terms of him having power. He has no power. He has no authority. That the Creator, the Father, he had to go to the Father to get permission to do his little deeds. And if the Father doesn't give him the permission, he can't. And, you know, it's amazing. I think we should read Corinthians First Corinthians, I think it's 10:13. Read that and see who is testing you, who is creating all of this, and what the role of the Creator, the one that created you, is in all of this. Now, if we just open our spiritual eyes and look at things through the spirit realm, excuse me, we will find peace, because we will have the peace of shalom. And that peace is not just emotional, but it's a peace that transcends the totality of who and what we are and how we are able to walk in the midst of all these trials and tribulations and count it all joy. And it's amazing, really amazing. I was listening to the news the other day whenever they said something about a dictator. We're on the path to dictatorship. Yes, we are. My academic training points to that. However, we who are have been chosen and called out of the world and is living in the kingdom that we have been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whenever we begin to think in those terms, we see that we have an arm of protection around us. Yes, arm of protection. That means then that we don't have to be fearful, so long as we are doing things according to the will of the one who created us. But see, the devil and the work through the world have gotten people to believe that it was just our parents through a sex act that's responsible for us being in this world. Well, when we look at what the Holy Book says and what the spirit realm, you know, it's happening in the spirit realm, we see that Psalm 139, it clearly states that the Creator knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb. Now, think about that now. If the one that created us is the same one that created the heavens and the earth, and that is the spirit, then we have that spirit inside of us. We have the spirit of the Creator, because that's who really put life into us. I was listening to Bob Marley, and one of his lyrics is "Woman Cry." Woman cry produces life. And that's what I walked away with. Woman cry produce life. Now, if we think about it and we process it, the woman plays a significant role in the life cycle. Woman cry. I'm not downplaying the male role in this. It takes two. It takes a male and a female to produce life along with the Creator. Now, you say now, well, we're not going to get into all this other stuff that's going on. We're just going to look at it strictly from a biological perspective. And when we look at it from a biological perspective, we sort of eliminate some of the other stuff. We don't bring it into the discussion. And we then, if we follow the teaching of the Messiah, then we are covered. We talk about we are covered with his blood. Yes, we are. We can be. But there's more to it than that. It's like we don't need to do anything. That's a lie. Again, when I look at things, how we got to this point, how do we get to this point? I'm 78. One time when I was a kid, the truth was the truth. The truth was the truth. And because the truth was the truth, we did not go out and attempt to say something other than the truth. And now, in my latter years, what happened? We heard the truth. Well, it's the truth is not the truth unless you hear me say it. One, the truth. We talked about alternative facts. When I was growing up, a fact was a fact. What's the truth? We treated it as the truth. And whenever we look at things that way, if we treated it as the truth, then that was a foundation. A fact was a foundation, part of our foundation, at least mine. And if I was given a fact, that was it. But today, we talk about alternative facts. Alternative facts. How can you get an alternative fact? Think about it. What is an alternative fact? How can a fact not be a fact? How can a fact you come up with alternative? How you can come up with an alternative to a fact? And then we don't understand why people are so confused today. Why you got all these evangelical Christians and they call themselves Christian nationalists. And where are the facts? What is the basis for their belief? The basis for their belief is not based on the word. They will come up with all kinds of rationale and how they rationalize that what they're doing is following the teaching, that it's okay. That it's okay. Now, I just see, when I see some discrepancy here in this. Discrepancies. What they believe and what I believe, what the word says, will not allow me to behave the way they behave. Will not allow me to respond to the way that they do. Not even respond to them. Because they're not going to listen anyway. It's like that word in the scripture. It said the eyes are closed and the ears are closed. If the eyes and ears are closed, have been closed, then what difference does it make whether I sit with them and try to help them to process it when they can't see anyway? And I think about my Christian education director, and she used to say, a person convinced against their will is of their opinion still. So I don't get into that Christian nationalist debate with them. However, when I'm talking to people who are searching, people who are confused, people who are seeking and understanding, trying to understand what it is that they see and what it is that they are hearing, I can sit with them. And we can have a conversation. And the conversation will have a foundation based on a fact, what I call a spiritual fact. And it doesn't waver. That fact that I base my belief on has not changed in almost 2,000 years. And if we go back prior to the Messiah, you can tack on another 1,000, maybe 5,000 years ago, whenever we talk about the Torah. I want us to begin to think about some of this stuff. And we look at the consequences of what people are saying to people and what people are believing because of what they heard people say. I mean, I just look at what happened on January 6th. People went out and broke the law because what they heard somebody say is what they thought, what they felt that somebody was saying that they do. And they went out and did it. And now you have some of them sitting in prison. You have others waiting to be sentenced. You have others waiting to be tried. And you sit back and you say, they're foolish. Didn't they hear what he was saying? And didn't they know the law? That this is a country of laws? Oh, I guess because he's attempted in their eyesight, in their mind, he had discredited the law, called the law witch hunt. People believe that. And as a result of their believing it, their faith, they act on what they believe. And it is just something now, living in this day, in this time, in what we call the greatest country, and in what we call the country that was based on, well, if we say religious principles, religious principle could be pretty much anything. But if we were to say biblical principles, then that meant that it would have been based on fact, a spiritual fact. It is the fact that Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Where can you find that? You find that fact recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew name for God. Elohim. So that established who owns the earth, the heavens, and the earth. You know, we go on and it says that he created the heavens and the earth. Fact. Spiritual fact. And then he talks about his spirit hovered over the deep. So, he was not a human. His spirit. And we began to search for an understanding ourselves as opposed to listening to telling us and what people said it means. Now, it's amazing whenever you look at the two meanings of January 6th insurrection. You have the law interpreting it one way, and you have those who perpetrated it and those who sort of placed that thought in their mind, in their ears, and they heard that it is okay to break the law. But I'm just saying now, I'm looking at the fruits. I'm not dealing with the individuals. I'm looking at the fruits. Now you, if you got a problem with that, you go back to your word again. Go back to the holy book and read about the one that you say is your savior. When he went to the fig tree, he dealt with the fruits that wasn't there. Not the tree itself, but its fruits. Think about it. And I don't need to judge you. You will be judged. That's in Matthew chapter 25 forward, which talks about judgment of the nation. Huh? Judgment of the nation. And he goes to different scenarios in that. And one of the scenarios is this person who shows up and he tells that he fed them and he clothed them, he cared for them. Him. And the person said, when did I see you? And we need to begin to read so we can get an understanding of what it is that we are about. Those were his fruits. His fruits. The work that he did. And faith without works. But yet, we hear all kinds of things about works, negative things about works, you know, good works, but no works. If you don't do any works, think about it. Now, as I look around the earth, and as I look around here in this country, and I never thought, I went through, after going through segregation, integration, the KKK, all of these, the Civil War, I didn't go through the Civil War, but this country went through a Civil War. Their love of keeping slaves for free labor. And now, after that, I did go through the sharecroppers, and I saw the evil in that system as well. And growing up, it was, wow. You heard that if you had one drop of what they called by then Negro, or they use the other word, the N word, one drop of blood from that group of people, that's who you were. And that was all negative. That put you in a negative class. And we overcame, I thought we had overcome that. And then the Voting Rights Act. I thought we had overcome that. But now, that is being taken away. It's just amazing what is happening now in this time. And I classify it as again, my intellectual upbringing, which says that that psychology that I studied in the early 60s and sociology and history, when I'm able to apply that to what I see today, what I see happening, what I hear that's going on, it's amazing. They haven't grown up in the black church. We understood who the Savior is, not was, but who the Savior is and what the Savior did on our behalf. And because of that, our moral compass is different from what I see that's happening in the world today. We are, I guess I sort of see us, if you want to look at it biblically, we are closer to doing things according to a biblical understanding than the world. And as we look out into the world, what do we see? We see chaos. We see confusion. We don't see the peace. Everybody's fighting and looking for peace. Peace. And we have this ability, innate ability, to walk through. And we were also told that we need to suffer. But now, biblical suffering and physical suffering are different. Be honest, I'm not into physical suffering. Biblical suffering, I understand that. I understand that when you go through trials and tribulations, you come out stronger on the other side. And you, that what you believe is cemented in your heart. And that's what comes out. I see. Good evening.
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I am lamenting in a way this evening in terms of connecting to and trying to make sense of what I see that's happening in the world today and how people can give their lives to a man and not to the one that created them.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that January 6th thing, what happened? And those individuals, they reacted to what they heard or what they thought they was hearing. And now they are, some of them are in prison. Some of them are waiting to be tried. Some of them are waiting to be sentenced. And the path that they went down to get to that point, I sort of conclude that it was based on when they changed the truth to a lie and the lie to the truth. And that took place over 4 years ago. You had people running around talking about when is the truth the truth. These are people in position of authority. And then you had people talking about alternative facts. And then you had people telling them that you don't believe it unless I say it. Now, all this is documented. And what we are reaping now is a whirlwind from that, which was put into the ears, eyes and ears of the people. And then you got these Christian nationalists who basically are saying that if you're not of a certain color, you are not a real true Christian. Now, whenever I go back to the facts, growing up in America, a fact was the truth. It was true. You could believe it. You could stand on it. You could order your life around it. But now, whenever the question was raised about when is a fact, I mean, the alternative facts, how can you have an alternative fact? And as I sit and look at things, I really come into a different level of understanding of what's going on in the world today and how the world has been brought into the church, has been brought into our prayer life, has been brought into all aspects of our lives. And we who are now say that we've been called and we've been chosen, how silent we are and how confused the people are. And my thing is that we have to be able to sit with them and help them to process what it is that they are hearing and how that is in conflict with what the Word says. So basically, that's sort of where I was going. That was a quick summary of where I've been, where the discussion was going. And it is, to me, as I went through that, it was very enlightening. And it gave me the ability to be able to sit with people and not just give them Jesus, but sit with them and help them to see and understand what's happening around them and how this was going on really in Jesus' time. And with the Pharisees, Sadducees were trying to trip him up. And then he was in conflict with the Roman government. So as we see now how history is been repeating itself, and because it's repeating itself, then we look and we see how those who follow the teaching of Creator, how they survived and how they were able to walk through that and have comfort because they understood faith. Their faith is what made them whole, and faith comes from what? Hearing the Word. Whose Word? The Word of the one that created the heavens and the earth. And that is found in the book of Genesis. So that's sort of where what was put in my spirit to really sort of talk about today. What has the Spirit been telling you or showing you?
It's so good to hear your voice. I hadn't talked to you, I think, in about 3 weeks now. So it's just a delight to hear your voice and know that you're well. I'm like you. There is the enemy has launched, and like you say, it's nothing new because he cannot create anything. So he has to use the same old stuff over and over and over and over. And his main thing is he loves to use deception. And, you know, mm-hmm. he used that on Adam and Eve in the garden. Have God said he's always challenging God's love for us, God's lordship over us, God's authority in the earth. He attacks our identity. The Lord has had me teaching. I just finished, I think I had 3 or 4 weeks, and he had me teaching on honor. And we have a generation now that doesn't know anything about honor. There's a spirit of lawlessness because, like you said, it's even coming to the church. It's no more knowing God by the spirit. It's knowing they're after him by the flesh. Everything is so fleshy. Mm-hmm. And that spirit of deception is running rampant in the earth. And you've got people saying things that has no biblical foundation at all. And they've got masses of people following them and echoing them. And that's hurting a lot of people. It's paralyzing your faith. It's giving Satan opportunity to come into your life. And, you know, you have to, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. And the Word of God says that he's going to send us the Spirit of truth. Now, truth will lead and guide. It won't push or shove. And you have to be willing to follow. First of all, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is who he says he is, that Jesus is who he says he is, and the Holy Spirit is who he says he is. Now, God being the creator of all heaven and earth, and Jesus, Jesus has already come to the earth. He has fulfilled his assignment, and he is now seated on the right hand of the Father. And he ever lived to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's given us his name. He's given us his faith, his authority, and his power in the earth. First Adam lost that, but the last Adam got it back. Now we once again have authority, and we were meant to rule, to reign, and to have dominion. And the Holy Spirit is, if you can say, the Godhead that's in the earth now. He's his assignment is now. He's in operation now. And you've got so many people teach there is no Holy Spirit. There is no Word of God ahead of even a young man that is in Bible college now, where I'm in Bible college, and he says, he posted, it was just today, actually, he said, some people said that God was raised up on the third day. Well, that's a lie. And I mean, I'm like, wow, really? And you could just see the deception. He's into Saturday being the Sabbath, and if you don't celebrate that, then, you know, you're not a true Christian. And so this is, the enemy knows that division, a house that's divided, cannot stand. So he's always trying to come up with all different kind of doctrines and false teachers to keep us divided, to keep us warring against one another. And I like what you said, that you wanted to sit down with them. And rather than bicker and debate, show them. You know, the love of Jesus. Show them what's truly in the Word. But there is a real spirit of deception. The Bible says that what happened in the last days.
Last days,
that men will be deceived. He said even the elect, if he didn't shorten the days. So it's sad because we have a generation now that don't know God. We have a generation that the enemy thinks he's going to destroy, but he's not. Because the remnant of us are going to stand up and we're going to believe God for a mighty outpouring of his spirit. And he's not going to take our sons and our daughters. He's not going to do it, but he's really trying. And you can just see the things that they're standing up for and the things they're believing in is so against the word of God. And it's just anything goes. And we don't know our identity. We don't know we're sons of God. The Word says that we've been made priests and kings unto our God. And we are holy. God's holy. And it does matter what we say. It does matter where we go. It matters what we do. it matters. And on Sunday, I've been teaching on seed time and harvest. And the seed you plant has to be the Word of God in order to reap the harvest of the Word of God.
Harvest.
Yes, and it the seed will produce the harvest. Now, that's one thing about God's Word. It's an incorruptible seed. And it doesn't take an almanac to tell you you can only plant it in the summer. The one to know, the Word of God works all the time in the hearts of those that will believe. And so a lot of us are kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, so to speak, because we are speaking spirits. And when we open our mouths and talk, we create. And so we've created a lot of havoc. And we've created a lot of things. And the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, winter, summer, day and night, cold and heat, as long as the earth remains. So we are, the law of sowing and reaping is working real well in the church. We're sowing things that are so against the will of God, so against the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I'm praying against the spirit of deception. And I was talking to my daughter-in-law while I was a little apologized for being late. We had gone out to finish doing some Christmas shopping. And we were coming back, and I told her, I said, I pray, Lord, every day to open the eyes of my understanding that I may not surrender to a spirit of deception, not only for my personal life, but as a pastor. I do not want to get up as one that has just left this earth, and we know who we're talking about, that says there is no hell, there is, you know, everybody's going to be saved. That's against the Word of God. And you're leading people down the wrong path. You've got people fighting, and I'm like, he's already met God. That's already been settled. All your fussing and fighting is not going to change whatever has taken place. And so we need to really get in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, anything that I'm believing that is not right, will you please show me? Show me. I don't want to be in error because I can't read what your Word says I can have if I'm believing contrary to what you said. And then I don't want to stand up before the people, you know, and teach an erroneous gospel. Because we're going to answer for everything that we minister and what we tell people and how we live for people. I don't know where we got this thing that, you know, we could just live any kind of way we want and just do any kind of thing we want. No, God said for us to be holy even as he's holy. And you know what's so wonderful about it, Apostle Armstrong, is he gives us, he tells us what to do, and then he helps us do it. How awesome is that?
That's right.
He gives us this, which is his word, and then he works on that seed to bring forth the harvest. That's a win-win situation. So we're just going to have to really go out to God with all of our hearts and just say, Lord, you know, show me what pleases you and what doesn't please you. And then help my want to obey you.
Yeah, one of the big problems is a lot of these denominations, doctrine. And one of them is once saved, always saved. Well, what does that mean? We need to help people to understand and unpack that. Once saved, always saved. Now, does that mean I can do whatever I want to do because I'm saved now? Or does it mean that there are certain criteria that I must continue to meet in order to have that? And see, our colleagues are not sitting down with the people and teaching the people what that means. Because you can't be saved and still doing the same thing you were doing before you got saved. Where's the inner change that took place in you that people can see? But people, I know growing up, I used to hear that. Once saved, always saved. Well, hey, I don't have to worry about it. I can keep doing what I'm doing. I see John, Uncle John, he's up there on Sunday morning. And hey, I see him at the same little house that I was at. So I must be doing the right thing. And, you know, we have to get into the word for ourselves and quit listening to what other people tell us. And you can listen, write it down, and then go to the word yourself and see if what people are telling you is what lines up with what the word says. And if it doesn't, then you just dismiss what they told you, and you can be cordial about it, and you don't have to go back and jump on them. But maybe you'll change, and then they start seeing, he's different. Maybe that will rub off on them, and they will change their way of thinking and believing.
Right.
And it is awesome out there how these doctrines are. It's just like the denomination that I was in, and they would tell me, just love them, Pastor. Just love them. You couldn't discipline nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They could do whatever they wanted to you. And I'm talking about disciplining them according to what the word says. If they get upset, then the organization is coming down on you. Why? Because they did not want to lose their numbers. Their numbers was up, and the apportionments that was being paid, their whole thing was, hey, if you lose these people don't pay, then they can't meet their apportionment. But that's not the way you build a church. To me, the church is the body of Christ anyway.
Yes.
And if you're giving people the word, the people going to come. The body is going to grow. And it might not grow as fast as you giving them the word of what they want to hear. If you're just giving them what they want to hear. And if you're entertaining them on a Sunday morning and you got that music flowing and everybody jumping around shaking their you-know-what, people get an emotional high. To me, ain't too much different from that as taking some type of drug. Whenever you think about it, that high wears off. I know before everything got internalized in me, I would go to church. I would feel so good. The music, great. Oh, I'm just great, feeling good. Wednesday, I wonder what the H I've done to lose what I had. God is mad at me.
Well,
what does that say about me? And I had to come to grips with what was happening on Sunday mornings. I just being operating at an emotional level? And then by Wednesday, that will have worn off. So I need to go back and get another fix. But that wasn't, now my thing is, it's the word. It's not about the feeling. It's what does the word say about your situation? What is the word saying about your, the word saying about your circumstances? And what faith comes by? What? Hearing the word. Well, I was hearing the music, and the faith I had was based on based on the music. And whenever that died down, the word wasn't there. That those words that I sung and those lyrics and stuff, they could not help me to get through the situation or circumstances that I was faced with. But when I got into the word helped me to be able to deal with those situations and circumstances that I was confronted with, and in a way that the Creator and the Son was glorified. So It is. It's awesome. Deception is a key word. Fear is a key word.
It is.
And
it
that's
is.
What they're using today. And the world is using today.
Yes.
And whenever you look at there's one party, and I'm not picking on any, I'm looking at the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
The fruits of the party that call itself Republican, it is composed of people who are afraid that they are going to lose power because the population, the racial population, is changing in this country. And as a result of that, they are fearful. And they are doing anything and everything to hold on to their power. And, you know, we have made the adjustment to be able to survive through this, whereas they can't. Because what they have is not based on a fact. We followed the teaching of Jesus, and we understood what Jesus went through in order for us to be able to do and be where we are. And that's an awesome thing. People just, he was the example. You said the second Adam. Well, he was the second Adam. He came into the earth realm through the womb of a woman. And he showed us the same way that we came in the same spirit. It's just that the male side was not there. But the spiritual side was there. The Creator knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb, just as he knitted the Savior in together whenever he was in his mother's womb. So he showed us how we can do the same thing that he did if we only believe in him. We have that same spirit in us. And that spirit is what sustains us. And the young man that you were talking about, he doesn't understand the power and the role of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be making those statements that he's making.
That's
he's making
right.
statements based on what the world says. And the world is in deceptive mode.
Yes.
It's deceiving.
Yes.
Because the world is winning the souls for the enemy. I see we have 90 seconds left now. Would you like to... The apostle of love, would you like to love us, pray us out?
I'll be honored to, Apostle Armstrong. Heavenly Father,
thank you
so much. Thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us. It has truly been a gift from you. And Father, I pray that we have used this day to express you in the earth. Father, I thank you for Apostle Armstrong, Apostle Miller, and all
yes.
of our listening audience, wherever they might be. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would open the eyes of understanding, that we might see and understand your word as you had it written. Father, help us to know that you have given us everything we need to reign, to rule, and have dominion. Father, let us not forget our first love. Let us not walk away from the things that you have taught us of old, God, what your word has shown us. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to us. He is a pattern, and he's an example for us to follow. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And, Father, as we walk through the Gospels with Jesus, we see he loved people, he healed people, he raised the dead, he fed the poor. God, help us to adopt that same spirit and be that light to the world. We're so grateful, God. We pray for peace. I don't know where all this is going. going, but there may be great turmoil and trouble. Somebody may be really stressing out over this Christmas season. But let us not forget that it's the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Father, I just ask that you would show us the true meaning of Christmas, that the spirit of Christmas, which is the birth of Christ, will come into our hearts, God, and we will rejoice that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Glory.
Book of life. I pray
for you to keep the flood every home, God, where there are situations that seem to be insurmountable, God. Flood it with your peace. Flood it with your love. We are so grateful and so thankful to you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. And, Father, I just speak peace. I pray that the Lord will bless and keep, that the Lord would cause his face to shine upon them. He lift up his countenance upon them and give them peace tonight. I speak the very shalom of God to every household, to every ear that listens, to every situation that wants to rise up against the word of God. And I tell you tonight to be joyful in the Lord and rejoice always. For God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And for that, Father, we are so thankful. And thank you for your peace. And I just pray that everyone will have a supernaturally wonderful weekend and that God will show you a dimension of himself you've never seen before. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Apostle McIntyre.
Yes,
Apostle Miller had was out on assignment. She wasn't sure if she was going to make it back in time. So I told her that I prefer her to miss the program, in other words, than be rushing trying to get back. That was what I told her, like I said, this is what I used to tell the police officers, you know, it's best you take your time and get there, as opposed to rushing to these incidents, and you never make it.
That's true. That's true.
Yep. Yep. All right. Shalom.
All right. Shalom, shalom. Love you, Apostle.
Same here.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.